Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 211 of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are back today to finally give our thoughts on the big box you see behind our buddy Andy. And speaking of Andy Nichols, he is my partner in crime. He's my backwards traveler. Andy, my friend, what's going on?
Hey, Thomas, and good to see you again. We haven't done a show where it's just you and I in a while. We've had some, had home run guests for three shows in a row.
Yeah, and we got a returning home run, for next week as well. So it's gonna be it's definitely been a lot of fun talking with Chris Welch. We got Jude, and then Womack. Some great authors who have written very impressive work, and just good times talking with them.
Absolutely, some of the best interviews that I think that I've ever been a part of since I've been on the show, and I've really enjoyed every single one of them individually. I'm sorry we're doing this recap show of the box set singles about 6 months after we got it, but it took me that long to listen to it, as we all know.
It was the getting up and getting back down that that really did it.
Not having any time to play them.
I get it. Trust me, I get it. I mean, so many people made fun of us for getting it because we had to get up and get down. Every three freaking minutes. Whatever. But I had a great time with this.
Yeah.
However, yeah. But yeah, before
we'll get to that. Yes.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But Andy, as we're recording this on the 15th, last night on the 14th, you went back to the Grammy Museum. It seems like you've been there, spending a lot of time there lately. Tell us what happened last night at the Grammy Museum.
Well, last night was a wonderful night and a presentation by our friend Ken Womack, who gave kind of an insider's perspective at a deeper dive in a wonderful multimedia presentation of his work on Mal Evans's life, culminating from, taking excerpts from his forthcoming book, Living the Beatles Legend, which is coming out in November. And I've been to the Grammy Museum four or five times for presentations by Ken, going back 3 or 4 years when he was there for Solid State. And this was just the latest one, and sadly the last one too. I hate to say that's going to be closing, which kind of stinks. Yeah. So it was a fine way to go out. He was also joined by the magnificent Magical Mystery Girls. That band, they were at the fest. They opened up this show, and then Ken did a lecture of about an hour and say 10 minutes, hour and 15. All the work he does in it is just tremendous. This isn't just a lecture, Ken incorporates so much in and puts so much of into his presentations to keep it visually appealing to the audience. And it was probably good 50 people, maybe even more. Felt like maybe more, 75. And tracing, Mal's life through the awesome pictures that they got from the Mal Evans estate and Mal's son, Gary. Pictures that we've never seen before, and we were really strict about. Ken asked that no photos be out, phones be out for video, and we got some really primo content that's going to be coming from this book, and some video too, really touching video as well. So it was an awesome presentation, and nothing short of excellence as usual for Mr. Womack.
That is super to hear. What is this, November? It's coming out.
Originally was June. It'll be out the 14th of November. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, really looking forward to this. And glad you got to spend some more time with Womack and learning about the life that was Mal Evans.
And then the diaries were also part of the presentation. So it wasn't just about the book. That was a lot of it. The diaries. What was in them, how long it was really just about the diary. Honestly, it was more about the diaries than the book. The photographic content, the video was great, but it was more about the diaries and how Mal kept his diaries. Starting out when he worked for the British Post Office, Mal kept diaries all the way through. So that was really mainly more about the diaries, but of course the book was part of it too.
Right. Well, as we had Ken on, he can't give, certain details away. Obviously we want to, read the book and buy the book and read it. I am just really curious if he's just like jotted down, you know, his thoughts and feelings about each individual, you know, each Beatle, and you know, if he had any bad times with them, if he had any arguments with any of them. And I'm sure that's going to be all in the diaries, yeah, and in the
and
book.
Ken told us a little bit about that last night, given where his relationships were at with the Beatles at any given period in their history, especially obviously post breakup. It gets very interesting. And Ken told us, he shed a little insight on that last night to us graciously. So yeah. Cool. You know, he explained, you know, obviously, you know, who were the real people, you know, on the Beatles insider circle, and when they joined, you know, obviously we know that George Martin and Brian, but you know, Ken gave specific dates when everybody in their circle kind of came into the circle. Right. Mm. So, you know, obviously it was Neil, you know, Neil was first in 61, and then Brian later in 61, and then Mal in officially at the beginning of 63. And obviously George Martin in June of 62.
Right.
So,
gotcha.
Real wonderful presentation by Ken, and will be one of the better books ever to be added to the library on a giant person who, you know, really his story so needed to be told, and no better person to tell it than Ken. So on the book front, we got more books.
Yes. And speaking of books, yes, absolutely. We got this sucker in the mail the other day, and you know, we wanted to come on live or whatever and you know, talk about it, show it, but unfortunately, you know, life happens. And but here we are now talking about the book.
When did this first get announced? That this was, you're going to do a little unwrapping as we go through it. Was it back? Well, yeah, was it before the singles? Was it before the singles box set? Do you remember?
It had been right around the same time. No, I don't remember. No.
Okay. Some and speaking of Mal, I saw a picture of Mal in here the other day, and I just want to show everybody. There it is. Yeah. Eyes Very of cool. the Storm. I'm looking. I just saw it before. Give me a minute. Okay. Give me a minute. Hold on.
Take your time.
As the song goes, Brian, lots of Brian.
The new book smell as you flip through the pages.
And nothing short of like anything that with Paul, the lyrics book, you know, a nice essay from Paul to open up the book, which I started reading before. This isn't the one I was thinking of, but here's a picture of Mal in the book.
Ah, there. Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And all the pictures have Paul's little, you know, anecdotes underneath it, which is cool. So broken down into the cities all throughout 3 months of 64. That's why it's the Eyes of the Storm, right? Liverpool, London, Paris, New York, D.C., and Miami. So before each city, you get a nice little, you know, write-up from Paul where they were traveling and why. And lots of great photos of people that, you know, we know. Lots of good photos of Billy J. Kramer in here. Mm-hmm. Shots of ordinary people. Pictures of George's parents, for instance, here.
Yeah.
You know?
Seeing pictures of Jane.
Yeah.
And here.
There's George Harrison's parents. And they were not all taken by Paul. You know, but they were, some of them were taken by Mal or by Neil. Yeah, you know, but it's Paul's camera.
Yeah. Speaking of Mal.
That's the one I was looking for. Yeah, that's the one I was looking for. That's a great shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ringo wasn't the only good photographer in the band.
No. Well, Paul explains that in his introduction. He says, look, you know, what people did, you know, when you went on vacation, every family had a camera saying, here we are, and this is what we're doing. Right. So it was basically what people do now, went on with phones, but they brought cameras with them. Wonderfully put together. There's another essays after Paul's introduction here. There's a great shot of Brian. Right there to open up.
Yes. Yeah, I love that.
That's a great picture there.
Mm-hmm.
Her name.
Oh, Sorry. I love these two shots right here.
John and George.
This is Paris. Yeah.
Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah, the preface. Paul writes the foreword, which is about 7 pages, and the preface by Nicholas Cullinan, and then an essay called Beatleland, which was the introduction by Jill Lepore. I think this book and the lyrics, you know, Paul has a nice essay. These are the closest we're going to get to an autobiography, you know. Right. Paul writes pages upon pages, you know, of his feelings and why. And this and the lyrics book is probably as close as we're going to get
Yeah.
to it.
Agreed. I definitely can't wait to dig deeper into this. You know, Miami looks like a lot of fun.
Yep.
Got some shots with John and Cynthia there, look really good.
Yeah, and there's some color photos in there too. Yep.
As
we're down in Miami and George Martin joins down. Where's that classic one? Is that the
I love these, obviously,
but even like photos of like ordinary people too, you know, at the average person.
The average person.
The average person. Yeah.
But, do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks great. Yeah, I can't wait to dig into this a little bit more.
Lots of people smoking cigarettes in the picture, and Paul says, hey, look, you know, that was just like having a cup of tea. If you didn't have a cigarette, it was like, what are you doing? He says that in one of the anecdotes of the photos.
Really? It's just cigarettes are like a part of your body back then, I guess, you know?
Yeah. But again, in typical McCartney fashion, professional, delivered high quality content all the way through. 334 pages.
Nice.
Well done, Sir Macca. So after a period of quietness, you know, we've got this, you know, we've got a few things to chew fat on now.
Not only that, right now as we speak, the Conan O'Brien interview with Paul McCartney
is going on right now.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll be talking to a few people about that soon. To tell us their experience with that. So, today's episode, we're going to be talking. Yes,
do that, let's just get 2 minutes in on Now and Then and the AI thing. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, okay. Well, you know, I was on Ken Michaels' radio YouTube channel the other night, which is up there now, and I was there with Luca Parazzi, Alan Kozin, and the Talk More Talking, and Ken Michaels, you know, asked us about the Now and Then song and the use of AI, and people need to understand that AI can do many things. It can do more than just have John sing P.S. Love Me Do. You know, it does more than that. Okay. And one of the things that AI, can do, which is the Mel software or whatever it is that Peter Jackson used for the Get Back documentary film, was it's able to extract, vocals or instruments from like a cassette, which what Now and Then was on, right? It was a cassette that had a hiss on it, was not usable, right? For at that time, the technology just wasn't there. So what they were able to do was AI was able to take the vocals from that cassette. So then now they can work on it a little easier. We don't know if it's Now and Then because, he didn't say Now and Then.
We don't know, but we think that it's probably, watch it not be Now and Then, and now, Watch it not be Now and Then. But see, here's the thing. It's not AI. And I think there are a couple people said it's not AI where you tell a computer to reproduce a sound in the way of how somebody sang. It's not. So, and I think Lucas said this on the show with you guys, and it was a great way to get headlines from McCartney because, AI has been the recent trend. It's not AI. It's going to be John's voice. It's going to be George's guitar and Paul and Ringo's playing. That it's not AI at all. There's plenty of that AI crap out there now. This is not AI.
People shouldn't want it to be AI either. I mean, you when you think of the Beatles, you think of very high standards, right? I mean, the technology there is now there to where we can, like I said, we can get the vocals from that cassette, and then now Paul, Ringo can work the magic. And so we don't know who produced it, right? We don't know if they brought Jeff Lynne back,
or Giles
Martin.
Yeah, it's gonna be exactly what you watched in Get Back, where you saw the conversation between John and Paul, where everything else was removed, so you could hear the conversation. It's that technology. Right. That's what it's gonna be. So, that is and I listened to Now and Then today, the demo, the bootleg one, the demo that, and it's. It's not a happy tune. So if it is Now and Then, we're going to see how they're going to Beatlify it. Now there's some other versions of Now and Then that people have done on YouTube. I listened to one today and it's very Beatlified. It's got the drum sound to it. So we'll see if it ends up being that, but watch it not even be Now and Then. going back to the Conan O'Brien thing, right. Breaking news. I just got a text message from a good friend of mine, nobody that we've had on the show. He got in.
What?
Yep. He just sent me this picture.
He got in, and that's Paul?
That's Paul. It's hard to see on my phone. That's Paul with Conan O'Brien.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And he got in.
Yep. That's buddy great. Of mine. Buddy of mine just got in. And he sent me, he just texted me this picture right now.
So I'm wondering if it's just getting started then.
Probably.
Wow. Okay.
He says, last minute, just got a call this morning that it was real. One seat. They were all general admission, not by seat. Of course, you had all the crazies there since breakfast to get close, but the place is so small, there isn't a bad spot. That's what he just said to me.
Excellent. Very cool.
Yeah. Wow. Very real cool. Time. Real Excellent. Time update. Yeah.
That is sweet. Well, I can't wait to hear, the stories from the fans and people that we know that are there. And, hopefully we'll get someone on to talk about it.
Yeah.
The AI thing. Look, the AI can do so many things. It can write a script. It can write a song. You know, it can do so many things. But there's no human element to it, right? I mean, you can write a script, but a human actually has to go back and check it and add to it. Add experiences to it, right? AI can't have it. I mean, we can program it to think it's got experience at something, but, you know, like I said the other night, AI is, you know, will never experience falling in love, right? AI will never experience having its heart broken. And no. AI will never experience going through a White Castle drive-thru at 2:30 in the morning after a good night of drinking, you know?
No. Real no. life stuff.
Anyways.
It can't feel.
Right. Exactly. So you shouldn't want AI, people.
You shouldn't want it. Anyways, but that I am annoyed that the clickbait and the headlines on, what are we doing this right. on Thursday? Tuesday was like, new Beatles song from AI. Yeah. Every Good Morning America, the whole nine. Yeah. Like, really? Yeah. No, it's not AI. And props to Ken Daschau because he talked about the same thing and he hit on the same points we are, saying it's not AI and it's not. So bravo and... it's going to be released this year. Of course, he didn't say when, but it's probably going to be around Christmas time.
And I wish he didn't say it. I really wish this would have been a big surprise because now we're, obviously, they probably want, though, a buildup, people talking about it. They want an excitement level. They want the word of mouth to get out there that a new Beatles single is coming. I'm sure that's why he did kind of like spill the beans on this new song, or the last Beatles song, if you will. But we'll see. So many questions, so many things you can speculate.
And we think it's now and then because it's what Paul talks about in that Jeff Lynne documentary about how they did it, but George didn't like it. So that's why we're assuming that's what it's going to be. But to the topic at hand, partner.
All right. Topic at hand. As you can see behind Andy there, we've got the singles box set. I'm not going to pick it up and show it, but I mean, you've all seen it, right? I mean, the people that have it, you've hopefully are having fun with it. Andy, you obviously you took your time, you might be a little busier in your life than I am at the moment, but, right off the bat, the book. I mean, you're holding the book. I mean, let's talk about the book for a second. Showcases, Paul's love for the single. I mean, he grew up listening, with the single, and then it goes through all the singles as well. So, just talk about the book for a second.
Yeah, well, obviously the book obviously is just basically Paul giving an education in what the single is, and maybe marketed towards a younger fan who doesn't realize that the single was what you listened to pre-buying an album. It was all about the hit single in the 40s, 50s, way before the LP became the standard thing. It was like, hey, go get the single. And he talks about that in the opening essay with the notes, and then we have a great, an awesome essay by Rob Sheffield summing up his whole career, skipping out a couple of songs. As I think we talked about this when we did our, I don't know if we did an unboxing. I can't remember if we did an unboxing or something initially with it.
Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah, I mean, there's a few singles, that aren't here, but that's just nitpicking.
Yeah, but it doesn't. you know, it does a nice job in the opening to be, you know, just setting this, you know, with the forward setting, what the single was, how a jukebox was like, you know, this was how, this is what it was. You know, you popped them into a jukebox and you played a song for, you know, through all 3 minutes back then would have been pushing it more like 2.5 or probably 220 to be a single in there. And then obviously after the essay, the career spanning, mostly career spanning essay, you've got 70 through 79 broken down by decade with your basic artwork alongside who played on it, you know, when it was recorded and the chart rankings that it, you know, that it reached.
Right.
In here. Right. So you, and only really US and UK.
Yes.
You know, you're getting that. So
the two major markets.
Yeah. That's it. So chronologically, I mean, you know, the book, you know, and then obviously, you know, we've got some the production notes in the back after Women and Wives, how it was done.
Yeah, the production notes, I mean, that's what I really enjoyed reading because, you know, they said to source the audio, Paul's studio team went to the original master tapes, which itself tells an interesting story in the development of the sound. So, yeah, I mean, you would hope that that's what they did. They went to the original source, right, and they didn't just use a, you know, digital transfer to, to the vinyl. So, so that's cool. But however, some of the stuff was on what was through the WAVE files, right? With the most recent, with the most recent singles, they're passed over to Abbey Road Studios in the autumn of 2021. So that's probably when all of the mastering took place. Okay, and I guess I think the vinyl that they were pressed in early 2022, I think it was from April to June of 2022 that that the vinyl was
when the
was
when the vinyl were pressed. Yeah.
So and the using the and the box was handcrafted and constructed in Derbyshire, UK, using FSC approved redwood pine and birch ply.
So, well, yeah, I mean, they when that video went out when it came out. And you saw the making of the box at the place, which is really cool. Right. And let's not forget here at the, in the credits, okay, our friend Luca Perazzi.
It's right.
Credited right in the book under the label copy. And it's kind of small. Yes. I'm going to try to show it up and hold it. But here's our friend Luca, who's been on our show numerous times with the credit here in the book. And wow, what a great moment for him to be recognized for, and as he should be.
Yeah.
As he should be.
The remastering and the vinyl cut were by Alex Wharton. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. So he had a big job to do as well with this project. That being said, you know, I was going through a bunch of the singles over the last 6 months, just trying to get a, you know, comparison. You know, obviously it's a lot sturdier.
The cardboard is definitely more durable.
You know, as you can see, this is just like the flimsy, you know,
paper,
you know, a little bit of thicker paper, but obviously you can tell the difference there. And then I was also looking at the vinyl itself. Now I also weighed the vinyl as well, and the new vinyl, when the ones that I weighed, they were between 40 and 43 grams, so a little heavier than the old vinyl, which was like 37 grams or less.
Slightly heavier.
Slightly heavier. But I mean, here you go. Here's
that's the new one, right?
You can see how green the apple is there. You know, that was
a little faded. No,
well.
That's a 50-year-old record plus.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you know, they kept the labels as accurate as possible to the to the original, the best they could, you know. So that was one of the cool things. Our buddy Tone noticed, with the producing of Once Upon a Long Ago.
Miscredit. One more thing with the notes. I just have the book open still. I noticed here.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Which we already listened to it, so we know. But it's cool to see during the research of the box set, a few treasures were discovered within the MPL archives. And so an edit of Secret Friend and the demos of Home Tonight and I Want to Come Home are presented here for the first time.
Yes, very cool. Now, my biggest disappointment with this box set.
Okay. Go.
this single right here. Can you see that?
Kind of blurry. It's with a little luck. Yeah.
With a luck. Okay. Right. It's the DJ edit on here. You
not
know?
The 545.
Yeah. I have 4 copies from around the world, the original, and they're all the full length album version. So I guess that's probably
the biggest pet peeve. Packaging before we start going through our favorites and stuff. Yeah. I will say the thicker cardboard for all the casing is fine. I do wish that there was another insert sleeve to protect the 45 than just sticking it in the cardboard rough like this.
Agreed. 100%.
Just shoving it into some cardstock. We're major vinyl geeks here, so I just feel like stuffing it into this thing. They could have done a nice, small Mylar kind of bag to put in here to protect it. Just take the single and throw it in, Not every one of them, but most of them, when you looked at the 45, the cover is the A side, right? Every time I pulled it out, the record, it was the B side when I opened it.
Really?
Yes. So like, see, even look, it's still like when I open, I have My Love in my hand right now, right?
Right.
The you mess take it is out, what I see. It's the mess.
Well, you know why? That's what, because that was probably the last side you played, right? So that's the side that was up. So when you go to put it back in, it's probably the B side. I mean, if you're playing both sides, that is,
Yeah.
So, no, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No Columbia labels were used for this. So when Paul was with Columbia in the late 70s and into the 80s, all those
only
were,
here though
were
that Parlophone. Was only here in North America.
Yeah, right. All of those labels then are the Parlophone labels.
Variants.
Variants. Some of the other differences. Young Boy, Beautiful Night, The World Tonight. Those are on black vinyl. It's not the picture.
Not the picture disc like, original ones from 97. Right. Yeah,
exactly. The Christmas Song that was released in green and red vinyl originally. Mm. This here, it's black vinyl. I don't know. No, wait, no, I'm sorry. The last In a Hurry Home Tonight, that was a picture disc.
Yes.
And here it's black vinyl.
Right.
So, a few little differences. I'm kind of glad though, because I don't dare play those picture discs. Now I can play.
Yeah, you can play a real record now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So really, really amazed by the sound quality of the singles. I've been amazed with the Half-Speed Masters that's been going on there at Abbey Road Studios as well, especially this Red Rose Speedway. Excuse me, Half-Speed Master was knocked it out of the park. It just sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Now I know a lot of people had issues with the labels, whether it's off center.
Oh yeah, there was a couple of bad ones there.
People having a hard time contacting MPL or whoever manufactured the box set, and I feel bad for you. Some people weren't able to exchange it. Some people did get either refunds or an exchange box, which I wonder how many they had extra, if just in case somebody.
Well, I don't think it would have been two more. They would have said, "Okay, fire up 10 more. Go make 10 more of them."
Yeah, perhaps. But no, an amazing listening experience. I really dig this box set. This is something I was hoping for. Matter of fact, when we did the crossover with things we said today, we were like our wish list, right? One of the things that I had on my list was a singles box set,
and we got it. I'm telling you, other than I had my tone arm weighted wrong, and somebody when we did live one time, and I'm like, wait a minute, why am I getting all these skips? I had my tone arm weighted wrong, once whoever I forget who it was, but thank you. Once I fixed it and adjusted, I played all, obviously I got through all 80, not one skip, flawlessly played perfection, pressing, you want to show some of our favorites in the set?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. You want to start? Go ahead.
Yeah. Love this one.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Venus and Mars with Magneto on the back. I just love the red. I love the red and the black frontier capital records. Mm-hmm. And that right. looks to be Paul when they were down in Australia on that tour. Wasn't the 76 tour when they were still playing Junior's Farm, damn it.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. So what else you got?
I got the Spanish Helen Wheels, one of my favorite picture sleeves of this particular single. Really dig this one. And, you know, obviously... You know, I love how deep, you know, that deep green.
It is sharp. You know, it is sharp. Now, you know, so obviously most of the one, I mean, obviously some of the ones from the foreign markets were the best. The jewel of this set, obviously, is going to be the stuff that was never on 7-inch single before. So those are the ones I pulled out. Obviously, the blink of an eye and all these kind of new ones that were thrown in. That was the coolest listening experience. I mean, everything about it was great. I will tell you, now I have the original 45 of this. But I forgot how good Summer of 59 is. The B-side.
Phenomenal B-side. Phenomenal.
I have forgotten how good that song was.
Now, that's a case, that too, where the original was colored vinyl as well. But it's black vinyl.
Oh, we got another picture of Paul here. Yeah. Hold on. Paul and Conan sitting down.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Hmm. Excellent. Love
We're not there, but somebody we know is. Yeah. And I was really pleasantly surprised with this.
What's that? Oh, yeah. Did you listen to it then?
Obviously. Yeah. I went through the whole thing. But I really, I didn't think I was going to like this. I was like, oh, I'll just play it. But I really enjoyed this. You had two tracks, right, on each side with this, Tom, didn't you?
Yes. Well, see, what happened was is they were both originally their own single, okay? They turned that into an EP is what they did with that.
Right. Okay, so they made it it an EP, right?
The songs were short enough to where you could fit both of them on one side.
Yeah, Save the Child and the world you're coming into. That was very enjoyable. Paul's first classical album, Liverpool Oratorio.
Yeah, glad you enjoyed that. So the cover, yeah, when you flip over the one, you get the one cover, you flip it over, and that's, there you go. Yeah. Right. So well done on that one.
Yeah, you got, they turned two singles into one on that one. So that was that was an enjoyable one. What else you got there? You got any others pulled out? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. I just love the, you know, We All Stand Together, you know, one of the ones that people love to, you know, screw with. You know, again, I mean, it sounds amazing. So a lot of these remasters, they came from what was already done. So this was already on the Pierre McCartney, right? I think we all stand together. So they used that version on this single, according to the production notes. So if it was already, if it had already been remastered during all of these archives and greatest, you know, Pierre McCartney and stuff like that, they ended up using that source. But you know, once upon a long ago, I really am curious about this, you know, the George Martin situation, you know, Phil Ramone, George Martin, you know, why that happened the way it did. Really curious about that.
Why that happened, yeah.
Right. Actually, hold on. I might have put them in the wrong. Oh boy!
What are you? See, can't do that.
Yeah. Hold on. Hold the phone here. Well, what? Okay. Nah. See, back on my feet does say produced by Phil Ramone.
Phil Ramone. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's only the cover that. Yeah, the cover doesn't.
On the cover. Right. Yeah.
The cover, yeah.
Yeah, interesting stuff.
Yeah. And The Blink of an Eye was a really enjoyable track, a song that I didn't know that well, really, before I started becoming friends with Tom. And they standardized all the new 7-inch singles with the same artwork, the same layout. So in other words, if it was a first-time single, the artwork and the design was pretty universal, you know, with this like that. Plain background with just the credits there, just like that. Blink of an eye.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Very good.
I Want to Come Home. And the demo, I mean, I didn't hear too much difference between the demo and the real one.
No, no, there
it's
wasn't
not
much,
a big difference between those two.
No. Right. Yeah. You know, when they, when he switched to EMI, switched the labels there to this one, you know, this actually for this one.
Yeah.
You know, for Stone, this one, you know, sounded fantastic. You know, there, I don't, for me, there wasn't a bad experience except for with a little luck. I mean, that was
yeah. And then, didn't we both get the same, we got the same bonus 7-inch. Didn't we both get,
that was hilarious. How
we both got the same one.
The same press testing. Right? Yeah. White label test pressing. And it was, I think, Nod Your Head, right?
Nod Your Head. We both got Nod Your Head as the same test pressing one.
Yes.
I'm like, really?
How did that happen?
I don't know. They knew that we do a McCartney show. That's why. I said,
right, exactly.
You suckers, we're going to send you the same one.
We're going to send you the same one. Yeah.
And I must say, too, this, I actually referenced this more than anything, more than the book, was this little handy thing. This.
Ah, yes. Well, yeah. Yeah, that was great addition. I like
this,
that.
This was great having this because it would just spelled everything out for you chronologically. Mm-hmm. What territory, you know, was the single from? U.S. mainly. Was it U.S., UK, right. Somewhere in Europe?
Yeah.
Perfectly spelled out. That was a very nice handy thing, which most people just 86 and toss, but I kept it quite a bit to reference it. But,
yeah. I thought it was like a bumper sticker at first, but you know, put it on the back if you put it on the back of your car or something. But yeah, this was very cool. Try to keep this in best shape as possible.
But you see, there's lots of even like see with the eyes of the Storm book, this box set, the lyrics book, there is a level of quality when it comes to McCartney product that no other artist delivers with the same level of care and top-notch quality. Are you paying a little bit for
Dylan,
it more?
Dylan. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I would say Dylan.
Yeah. Dylan does. But there's just a charm, call it the Beatle charm, if you will, when you look at something so well done and well made with care, there is not one, obviously with a little luck in your case, but like in just terms of how it's presented and packaged, classy, well done, tasteful, everything about it, the presentation, the layout, whether it's the lyrics book, whether it's this, the 7-inch singles box set. I mean, is it complete? No, but it's organized and presented very well. But this is not haphazardly thrown together, you know? It's just, well,
I
know,
agree.
Nothing. I agree. So at least, at the very least, when he's putting out his product, you know, his team is doing, I mean, he's got, you know, offices of staff to do this work for him.
Right.
So they love it as much as we do, which is why we get it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this sold out instantly. What, in 2 days, I think it was? It sold out.
2 days.
2 days, yeah. I know somebody that's selling theirs. If anybody is looking for one, so email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com if you're in the market to get one. I know someone who's selling one. So
what's the current eBay or world Discogs world going? What's this going
for
now?
Over 1,000. Over 1,000. Yeah. I mean, there's people trying to get, you know, actually there was somebody that was really smart about this.
Oh God. Yeah.
Someone was selling each one individually. Okay. Some were selling for $40. Some were selling for $50. This person made their money back in spades. You know, it was pretty remarkable to watch this as it was unfolding. When this person that was selling the singles individually, and you know, I would imagine that they had a box for themselves as well. But you know, like I said, you know, $20, $30, $40 each for each one. That was pretty cool. Yeah, but I see. I've seen them going for 12, 13, 14, you know, 100. I saw some of, you know, when they first came out, you know, the people were getting, you know, $1,500, $1,600 because they put them in an auction, this might be a little investment, you know, over time. It
could be, but do we really look at things that way? You or I, when it comes to Paul? I don't.
I mean, these big, I mean, yes and no. I mean, obviously we listen to them, right? The value of them has gone down a little bit now, maybe because now they're used. Each one has been played, right? So maybe the value has gone down a little bit in that case. But there's times like, you know, the George Harrison, the crate, right? I mean, I thought probably everybody thought, okay, in the future I can sell this thing for $2,000, $3,000, $5,000. But guess what? They haven't sold out yet. There's still more available.
In fact, you can get it less than $1,000 now.
It's like $650 or something. Six and change, yes.
Meanwhile, yes. These two idiots here didn't, you know, we didn't do that.
Well, you know, we didn't know. Plus, no. You know, that unboxing video is our highest viewed video.
It is, right?
You know, of all. Yeah, yeah. So.
Yeah, you go to, yeah, it is. Yeah. And you were like, but, you were like, you were so pissed. You were like, how the hell did you get it before I did? I'm like, all right.
But you got it before it was even supposed to be released. That's,
yes.
That was the great thing about it. You know, so we were actually the first that got to show it. So,
but, yeah, listen, I know we're a little bit, you know, delayed in doing this release, but, I do like the fact that it was made available digitally. You know, so if you couldn't get it, if you couldn't get the for this, you know, you couldn't get it, you could at least get the new songs, the new remasters, and presented chronologically, which I know a lot of people opted for that route to do it. Some people I saw on eBay, and they actually made their own CD versions of this. Did you see those images?
Yes.
I mean, some people went to some really cool, painstakingly work to really reproduce the wooden bot, the text and everything, and put it on, I think, 5 or 6 CDs or something like that. You know, now, if this had been made available on CD, would you have bought that too?
Wow.
Gotta be yes, right?
Probably. Yeah. Who am I fooling? Of course.
You would have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
Well, a 5 or 6 CD set might have been what? Maybe $100?
You know, well, I'll tell you what, I can understand the vinyl set not being 100% complete, but the CD, I would have expected it to be 100% complete. You know, every single single
everything
from every 45, even the live stuff. You know, there's singles from France, or maybe even the promo of the man from Spain.
You got that though.
But that, I mean, that'd be cool if it was on. If it was on the set, you know, everything that was actually pressed on vinyl, no matter what country, that would be cool to see on one CD set. Absolutely.
It would have been, you know, I know some of our diehard, you know, cohorts that they also got this as well. But I mean, the release of this set was so funny in time with what you've been doing and the marathon you've been on to round up international singles. I mean, in the last year or two, you have been gone hog wild and trying to get all these picture sleeves from all over the world. And then he says, you know, I'm going to release a box set and show all these different sleeves from different countries, mainly in Belgium, mainly in Europe and stuff, but and a couple of other, you know, Japanese ones. But it's like, maybe he saw you. Maybe he saw you.
Yeah, Germany.
I saw this guy on YouTube getting all my singles. Do this box, all right? And do this. Maybe he was inspired by you. He might have been.
Right,
you might have been the inspiration.
Doubt it, but thank you for thinking of that.
You don't know.
Who knows? Maybe. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, I don't know. As he once sang, but that's still going strong. I know I haven't shown as many pictures that I have in the past on Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that. I'll have to start, you know, doing that again because I'm still finding, you know, pictures from around the world. What else? Okay, so homework, everybody. If you got it, let us know your thoughts. Are you happy with it? If you got something wrong with it, what was your experience? Were you able to get a new set if your set was damaged in any way? If you weren't able to, let us know. I'm really curious if you got the digital version. Tell us your thoughts on the digital version.
Yeah, I mean, how many did a lot of people get defective copies with the label where it was offset? You know, I mean, how many cases were there?
Yeah, we did see quite a bit. I mean, there was 3,000 of these made?
Yeah.
I mean, we did see quite a few on the Beetle Collectors Facebook pages,
Yeah.
So,
and
they are
if you're shelling out bucks actually. For that, you're shelling out bucks. You don't want, you want that thing to be flawless.
Exactly. When you're talking about that much money, you expect, your set to be perfect. And luckily, thankfully, ours were, fortunately. So, but I know some people's weren't, unfortunately. But yeah, I totally am happy with this set, physically, audio-wise, literature-wise. Great set to have. Glad
one
I
little
it.
Flaw.
Andy, I'm sure you are. Yeah.
One little flaw. Well, this tiniest of flaw. When they're all shoved into the box, it makes it a little hard to thumb through them because you got to take that little styrofoam thing out. That's a bit of a pain in the ass.
Definitely have to take the styrofoam. Matter of fact, I haven't had the styrofoam thing in there for a while.
Because you can't dive through them unless that thing's out of there.
No. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, the book and the styrofoam are just pretty much almost the same.
Yeah.
Same size. I mean, it's the purpose of it is probably the same. However, you pack it in tight. You pack it in tightly. I guess. I mean, for shipping wise, you probably want that though. You want them in packed in tight, so there is no chance of any kind of travel damage
as it's being transported. Yeah, and the day mine arrived, it was teeming with rain, and I said, "I'm running home. I got to get this thing out of the rain. Bye." Remember that?
Yes. That would be somebody, anybody's whoever bought this, that had to be their worst nightmare, whether rain or snow.
Huh.
It's on the front porch, especially if you're kind of like a shady neighborhood too. People drive by, looking to steal packages on people's porches and stuff like that. Oh.
Luckily, that didn't happen to us.
Trust
but,
me, anytime that I have something being delivered that, I dished out a certain amount of
scratch.
Cash for, I'm a nervous wreck.
Take the day off. Take the day off.
Yeah. They're only that easy, my friend.
Yeah. Now, the real challenge is to play it again, maybe this year.
That was going to be my next question then for you, Andy. I mean, how many times do you actually anticipate listening to this set?
I'll be honest. I'll probably give it one more playthrough where I go through a few months or weeks where I play it and maybe one more time. Mm-hmm. I'll definitely play it one more time for sure.
Right.
Consecutively. I don't know. I do things in stages, with stuff like that. So I'll definitely play it. Well, but I'll start. Once I start chronologically, I'll just keep going. I'm not going to just pull, one out to play it. I'll go through the whole thing.
Right. Gotcha.
You?
Gotcha.
What about you?
Yeah, I mean, now after I listen to the whole thing, I mean, I might go in through stages. If I have a hankering to listen to the, Arrow Through Me, I'll probably grab this because it's a clean copy. I mean, it's so pristine and so, excuse me, a silent, there's no crackle, there's no pop, when you play it. So, because I obviously I still need to clean a bunch of these older 45s.
The older ones, yeah.
But yeah. But it sounds so wonderful. So I would probably, if like I said, if I have a hankering to listen to a particular song, Hell on Wheels or Arrow Through Me or whatever, I'll probably just grab it real quick and throw it on the turntable. I don't think I would go through start to finish again.
You wouldn't?
No.
Okay.
No.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean,
it's kind of like a reference book. You don't necessarily read a reference book from start to
cover
finish,
cover to cover. Where are you listening? Are you listening to like 80s Paul? Let me go to the 80s section.
Yeah.
Am I listening to 90s Paul? Let me go to the 90s section.
Right. Yeah.
But exactly. But it was just listening to it all again, and I'm like, you know, and you know these songs, but when you hear it again, fresh on a turntable, you're like, oh, Summer of 59, that was a really good song.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And exactly, because not everybody had, not, and this is great, this was great too, because not everybody had an opportunity to buy, you know, that single when it first came out. I mean, obviously you can still find them on eBay or Discogs or whatnot. But you know, here was your opportunity to get it all in one spot, you know, in one place.
And I know you're not a digital guy, but I mean, I subscribe to Apple Music and stuff. So if I want to listen to the tracks, I'll throw them on my phone and just listen to them again. You know, A side, B side,
right?
To kind of just stay in that singles box set mode, you know.
Right. Yeah. But, I hear you.
Yeah. Yeah. An enjoyable.
So you're happy. Set. You're happy with it. You're happy with it.
100%. Incredible. And very, very happy with it. I look at it every day when I walk past my living room.
I see it every day.
You see it every day.
Absolutely. And yeah. I see. I have mine stacked on top of the George Harrison crate.
Yes.
Know, so. Yeah.
You know, George is still dominating Paul there a little bit, saying, "See, I got my bigger crate." So, piss off, Paul.
Well, George has more wood to work with, right? I mean, he had more spare, spare wood trees, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Anyways, so what do you got going on the other channel?
I have a recent video that I did maybe 2 weeks ago. Me and a couple friends went to see Barry Manilow in Radio City Music Hall, and it's got like 1,400 views. Did you see that? Did you see
that's
how many
amazing.
Views?
Amazing. Yes.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's got like 1,400 views last I looked at it. It's crazy. I'm not the hugest Barry. You know, I went because it was a fun night to go with some friends and you knew all the hits, but that's
a good
that,
night out.
Yeah, it was. And then as a result of, this is kind of not related, but as a result of a show I did a while back with a guy by the name of Kevin Mulrine, we talked about a Yes book. That landed us getting Chris Welch, which ended up being our last episode on Two Legs. Which was really cool. And on that show, he told us that he had a new book. And I was like, oh, really? Because I kind of thought he was done. And he said he did a new book on Keith Emerson. So I had to go get it. So I just got it. I got this book and Eyes of the Storm the same day by Chris Welch. So I got Eyes of the Storm and this both in the same day. Hardbound book color on Keith Emerson of ELP. So plenty of reading to do. And bravo, Chris Welch, for doing that.
Yeah, man is a legend. Really, you know, just so grateful that we were able to spend, you know, an hour with him. Hopefully we'll get him back on and you know, spend more time with him. So
definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So
what do you got? What do you got going on?
Well, you know, as everybody knows, my new movie channel, Tom's Movie Channel, is up and running. And having a lot of fun. You know, started a new series where I talk about my five favorite films from each year I've been alive, 73 and 74. Those videos are up. I'll be doing 75 probably by the time this episode is posted. I'll have 1975 up. I just, you know, love talking movies, and you know, I wish I would have done this a little sooner, but
that's
the thing, though. It's always time is the hardest, you know, the hardest thing. But there's every once in a while, you know, I'll get home from work, the wife's still working, I can come in here and, you know, and do a quick, you know, 10-15 minute video.
Yeah, you got seven videos on your channel already, and good stuff.
Yeah. So
some of them I haven't heard. I love I like your Blu-rays, the Blue Maze 2023. Yeah. I like that one.
Yeah. I've got
the blues. But you're such a movie guy. You know, you've forgotten more movies than I know. So.
Absolutely.
I actually got a text about one of your reviews from a viewer of ours, and she said, I watched Tom's movie channel. I saw three out of the five in the theater when they came out.
Yes. Yes. Is that Ellen? Was it? I think.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah. Yeah. She made a comment. She saw the two Mel Brooks movies and The Godfather Part Two in the theater. That's crazy.
He's got me waiting in a lobby.
Yeah. Have you seen both the Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles, right?
I can quote Blazing Saddles. Young Frankenstein. I can classic, but Blazing Saddles is iconic.
Yeah. It is. And yeah, amazing, amazing film. Godfather Part Two, amazing film. I can't wait to do 75 because I have an oddball film in there that I know hardly anybody has seen. So I'm really looking forward to that as well. Talk More Talk. You know, we just did what did we do? I don't even remember what we just did. Oh, we did Living in the Material World. Yeah, 50th anniversary. We did that one, and then actually this coming Monday we're gonna have Tom and James Liverani, is that how you pronounce their last name? Yeah, they're gonna come on and talk about their experience of the Conan O'Brien Paul McCartney interview that's going on right now.
Oh, they're there too?
Yep, they're there as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention I was on Ken's channel a bunch over last week.
Yes, you were. Yeah, between the trivia and the Bob Dylan stuff, it's like you've been living there.
Yeah, I've been living rent free on Ken's channel for like a week. He had me on for trivia part two, which I did last Saturday with Ken Womack.
Came back and won. Scotty O'Rourke was in the lead, but you said no. Excuse me, this is my turf.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, apparently, of course, you know, Joe Mayo, of course, and Joe Fashion says, I would have beat you. Well, Joe, you didn't. Okay, pal. So make another video. Have a nice day.
Right.
We did that. And then I did another appearance where myself and Jeff Slate and Dylan Seavey did another deep discussion on the Beatles and Bob Dylan relationship. Right. And we picked it up. We did a volume three in Wilbury style. And that was a really great discussion, and Jeff Slate is an immense talent and great musician, and interviewed Bob Dylan. So thanks, Ken, for hitting me up to be on your channel for a lot of stuff.
So was that it then? Just the volume one and volume three? Is that it?
No, we're going to come back and do one just on the Wilburys too now.
Oh, nice. Love it.
Yeah.
Great.
That'll be the next one. So yeah, we you know, you got your movie channel. I've been, you know, so we've been busy bodies.
Busy, exactly. Always something to do. So that's going to do it for this episode of Two Legs. Thank you all for joining us. Please subscribe. We're getting closer to that 2K goal that we want to reach by the end of the year. You can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Two Legs Podcast. You can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. And again, the YouTube channel is Two Legs, a Paul McCartney Podcast. Please check that out and subscribe. Andy, my friend, always good to hang out with you and talk Paul McCartney or just music in general, because we love so much of it. You know, every once in a while, you know, we're going to slip in some other music besides Paul. So y'all are going to have to deal with it.
And we might not be wearing Paul shirts if we talk about Paul, and that's okay.
That's okay.
Isn't that right?
It is very all right.
Thank you, partner. Always a pleasure to be on with you, and having fun again. We'll see you next week.
Yes, you got it. So everybody out there, have a great day and a beautiful night. Take care.
Listening to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and Andy Nichols, with musical contributions by Dylan.